This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. In light of the recent cessation of operations by Save This Life, a company that provided registration services for microchipped pets, Avid is stepping in to ensure that pet owners can continue to keep their pets' information up to date and accessible in the event of a lost pet. To minimize the impact on pet owners who previously relied on STL's registration services, Avid is offering free registration for all pets that had been registered with STL. Here to tell us more is Peter Troche, president of Avid, and Josh Durso, manager of the Pet Track Department. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
Start by telling us about the history of your company and how long have you been in business?
We started about 40 years ago with fairly modest notions of what we would be accomplishing. The first thing we really did that made a big difference in how this works is we introduced the use of glass to encapsulate these chips. That makes it possible for these chips to stay functioning for the life of the pet. And to emphasize that point, I'd like to point out that we actually have chips in Galapagos tortoises. We have chips in Antarctic penguins and things like that. We started with an emphasis on birds. And as you know, birds can live over 100 years. So you have to have something that lasts a long time and won't fail over the life of the pet. We've been doing this for 40 years, and the program that people generally take for granted as being the normal way to do it is not the way it started. It started quite differently. We emphasized family relationships, and we wanted to cultivate the relationship between an animal shelter that was recovering animals, the veterinarian that was treating the pet, and the family that had the pet. So to improve the relationship between all of those. So when a shelter finds a pet with a microchip, they can contact the veterinarian and make sure that the pet that's been lost can receive any medical attention that it might need. And that was our emphasis. And we started by wanting to do birds, but since then we've done everything imaginable, including frogs.
Ah.
we have put chips in frogs and snakes and anything that you can think of. We've put them in killer whales and the like, camels. But dogs and cats are the majority of what we do. But it's widely applied.
With the recent closure of Save This Life, how has your company stepped up to support pet owners and veterinary professionals?
Well, they created a black hole because they simply, as best we can tell, and all indications are, they simply abandoned, without any announcement, all of the pets that they have registered. And it could be in the order of a million dogs and cats over the life of the operation of that system. This leaves a vacuum of information. To people who have had registered, it needs to be moved over to an active database. So we offered simply to re-register anybody that was registered with STL at no charge. And they can log in, put in their chip number, and we'll recognize that number, and they can simply go ahead and register, and there'll be no charge at all.
I'm curious, how can someone find out if they are registered with STL? I mean, I have seven cats, and I know that they're microchipped to different companies. How does someone find out which company they're microchipped to?
Well, you know, I know what we have done. If you visit the website and put in an STL chip number, it will tell you that you're eligible for a free registration. If you put in some other chip number, it goes through a different route, and if it's not registered, you can register. Some people have registered with more than one database, so there'll still be coverage. But if they haven't, they need somebody to take responsibility and carry out a recovery when necessary. And that's what we are ready to do.
What sets your microchips and pet recovery services apart from competitors?
Well, I find it a little hard to answer that because I don't want to disparage anybody else. I have to go back a little bit in time when a lot of registrations thought they were running a big glorified Christmas card list. And you could just put in a number and get the data. And when we started, we knew we had a lot of responsibility about the data. And the reason for that is, at that time, there was an actress whose photograph was in a fan magazine. They did not blank out the license plate number of the car the way they always do now. Mm-hmm. And someone could go to the California DMV, say, here's the license plate. Tell me where the owner lives. And somebody did that and stabbed and killed that actress at her front door. Mm-hmm. So we knew that data can be abused. So we've always had a very high priority on making sure that data isn't misused. We validate callers. And we've had many examples of people who are trying to circumvent that, saying, oh, I love your system. My pet's not lost, but I want to reassure myself that if I give you this number, what would you say? Mm. And we say, well, we say nothing. You know, we won't answer those kind of questions. And people do try to use chips that they know from their ex-girlfriend's pet and try to use us. And we have systems in place and training in place to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I'm speaking with Peter Troesch, president of Avid, and Josh Durso, manager of the PetTrack department. Share with us some success stories where your microchip has helped reunite a pet with its owner.
Yeah, there's so many of them. I mean, you get some where pets found after a couple minutes, a couple of hours, weeks, months, years. The one that stands out to me a lot was a cat that was found after 12 years, right? Crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Still remember the cat's name, Butters, right? So pet was found. The family ended up moving to a whole different state. And someone found the pet, took the pet to the facility, got scanned, called us and said, hey, we found this cat. Can you help us? We typed a number in the system and it came up as a family. So we called them and let them know, hey, your cat was found. And they're like, there's no way. Been missing for 12 years. They thought it was a spam call at first. And we connected the family or the family to the shelter. And we were able to get the pet back home, thankful to all the parties involved, shelter, the rescue, and the finder. And the pet's back home. I hope Butters is doing well. But that was one that really sticks out to me after 12 years. But every single one of them is super unique to me. We had a lady call once where her cat was missing. Calls us 2 minutes later, said, oh, I'm so sorry, it was hiding under my bed. So everyone's unique, but this one stands out a lot to me, where your baby was found after 12 years. I can't imagine what the family was feeling after that. So yeah, that one really sticks out.
I'm a big believer in microchipping. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm one of those people who always seems to come across stray dogs. Mm-hmm. And the Riverside County Department of Animal Services has been kind enough to equip me with a microchip reader.
Oh, there we go.
And such a difference in when you find a pet that is microchipped, you can get in contact with the owner almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that reassures them in a way that when your pet isn't microchipped, like a couple months ago, I'm on my way to work. There's a stray dog. No chip, no tag. Mm. The dog had to hang out with me here at work for a couple hours until I could get to the shelter to say, hey, here's a lost dog.
Yeah.
A lot of people have this conception that microchips are like GPS trackers, but that's a misconception. How do they really work?
It is wrong, and it is a very old one. And it's very unfortunate people make this association. I think the better way of thinking about how it operates, and I'm not talking about the technical background, but if you imagine a barcode you can read through fur that can't be obliterated, it can't be copied. With a regular barcode, you just take a photograph of it, you have a copy. So there's a lot of security in it. And the technology of it is that it works on radio waves. The reader emits a radio wave, and that radio wave generates a small amount of power in the chip itself. So the chip doesn't have any independent power source, and it uses that power to vary the wave, and the reader then can pick that up and decode the number that's in the tag.
And so if someone comes across a stray pet and mm-hmm. they read the microchip, they're given the microchip number and the company of the microchip or a phone number?
Yes, for example. So pets found, you bring it into the facility. The facility, for the most part, will have a scanner. They'll scan the pet and the number comes up on the scanner. Sometimes it does give you the company name, Avid, for example. Sometimes it does not. It will just give you the microchip number. There is a popular website that most people go to called AHA. You type in the number there, and it actually will tell you one or two things. Either one, which chip company the chip is registered to, and then it gives you the phone number, and then they can call. If it's not registered, it will give you the manufacturer of the company, and then they can call Avid, and we'll tell them, oh, yeah, we sold it to this facility. And then go from there. So that's kind of the main concept of it, how it works. You'll scan the pet, they'll call us, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. And ideally, the pet's owner will have registered their information with the microchip company.
I hope so. Yeah, that's the other issue that there is you get your pet microchipped, and then after, you need to make sure you register your information with your information.
So mm-hmm. if my pet goes missing and someone finds it and scans it for a chip, mm-hmm. finds the number, calls the number, it's not like the microchip company is going to give my information out to that person. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do is they're going to ask that person, hey, can we give your phone number to the owner of the pet and have them contact you? That's been my experience. Is that typical?
Yeah, correct. That's how it works. So if it's a finder, aka Good Samaritan, we'll get their name and number, and then we'll relay it over to the pet owner. So we just don't release information just like that. If you're a facility, animal control, then yeah, we'll give it out to the animal control facility, but we will also call the pet owner to say, hey, we just got this call from this facility, and then connect the parties together. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Michael Troche, president of Avid, and Josh Durso, manager of the Pet Track Department.
Michael.
Tell us, why is it so important for pet owners to register their pet's microchip?
Well, registration comes after you have the chip implanted. Earlier on, I talked a little bit about the safety and efficacy. It's the registration that will provide the result on the sort of back end of the process. For example, everybody has electronics at home. They have a computer. They have a TV. They all have serial numbers. Do you know those numbers? You don't. You don't know the numbers. So if things are stolen, someone might ask, hey, can you give me a list of these serial numbers so we can look them up? And you can't. Without that extra information, when someone, a third party, a Good Samaritan, animal control, finds a pet, they scan it, they get a number. Without the registration, they're lost. You know there's a number there. So in order to get the result that we want, which is to reunite the family, you have to do the registration. And it's not only that. You have to keep it up to date. And there are many examples where people have moved over time. It used to be a little different, but today we think, Josh, tell me, but I think the most permanent thing that people have is their phone number. Mm-hmm. It goes with their cell phone. They move three times, but that number is still the same. So right now we're looking at that. I think their email even changes more often than when that cell phone number does. So making sure it's up to date, initially registered and up to date, is critical. Otherwise, we have a dead end. And, you know, that's tragic when that happens.
You briefly touched on this before, but some pet owners worry about their personal information being shared. How does your company protect their data?
We train our recovery specialists to be aware of the risk, to recognize people who are trying to do what's called social engineering, to talk their way through the system to get information that they shouldn't have. We've known that since day one when we started the system. And unless you have proactive procedures to protect against those risks, it's a little bit of wishful thinking that it won't happen. On the other end of the scale, people have different attitudes about their sense of risk, but they have to make that choice. So we don't simply divulge owner information, owner addresses. I know there have been recovery scenarios where someone says, oh, we found your dog. And they say, fine, we'll meet at the 7-Eleven. I'll have a red carnation in my lapel, and I have the Financial Times under my arm. And it's almost like a spy novel. And on the other hand, someone says, really? Fantastic. You're my hero. We're doing burgers in the back. Come to this address. Just hack on back. You know, would you like a beer? And, you know, some people are completely open about it. It's up to them what they want to do. And we've had plenty of experiences where we have intercepted attempts to locate somebody by pretending that they found a dog and they happen to know a chip number. And we put a stop to that.
I feel like anytime you adopt a dog or a cat from a shelter or a reputable rescue, they'll automatically microchip the pet. For someone who needs to microchip their pet, how can they do that?
Well, you're right. Microchipping now is a standard of care. I really don't know anyone that will do adoptions without making some arrangement for chipping. And your veterinarian will be able to do it. It's become the standard of care. We don't have to explain to anybody, A, that they exist, and B, that it's important to do. Anybody they speak to, if they talk to their friends who own pets, if they talk to their veterinarian, or if they talk to the local animal control, they'll hear the same story. You should microchip and be sure to register.
And tell us again how someone who had their pet previously chipped with Save This Life can take advantage of this opportunity offered by Avid.
They visit our website, which is avidid.com. On there, it's clearly marked if you are, say, victim of what happened with Save This Life, that free registration is available. You put in the chip number. We can recognize that chip number as an STL chip, and you proceed through the registration process without any charge. And at that point, when queries are made, we will be able to echo the information that says all we know about the owner of that particular chip, even though we didn't manufacture the chip, we didn't sell the chip, but we can announce that we do have the information about the chip, and that becomes the beginning of the recovery process. Then we're contacted, and we can research our data, and we'll be able to give the owner contact, even though it wasn't our manufacturer.
And then I ask this anytime I have someone involved in animal welfare in for an interview, because I think it just doesn't sink in with a lot of people. So I'm determined to keep asking it until it does. Why is it so important that we spay and neuter our pets?
Well, it's responsible on a lot of levels. There's social responsibility to help control excess pet population. Excess population just sort of encourages and creates some kind of pressure, increasing abandonment and things like that. These are very, very tragic cases. Some people object to it on the basis that they think that they're sort of interfering with the natural state of the pet. So that person might object, say, to tail docking or declawing a cat and things like that. My view is that spay-neuter is very important. It's a responsible thing to do. But on the other hand, absolutely do not support any tail docking or declawing and things of that sort.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been speaking with Peter Trosh, president of Avid, and Josh Durso, manager of the Pet Track department. Anything else you want us to know?
If you have any questions, we're 24/7. Call us, 800-336-2843. If you don't know the pet's microchip number, feel free to go to your local facility, get the number scanned, or get the number, and then call us, and we can lead you in the right direction. If it's us or a different company, we can help you out as much as we can.
You just mentioned something that also characterizes what Avid's point of view has been. We, our original training, and we've continued with this, is that the recovery people, the people that Josh manages, have to remain agnostic as to the manufacturer of the chip. So if someone calls and asks us for help on recovery, we don't say, well, is it one of ours or somebody else's? You know, go somewhere else. We never say that. And to illustrate sort of the right attitude, there was a family in Maine. They had a dog. that constantly got lost. We got called. Do you have a chip number? No, but it's a white dog. One ear up, one ear down. And we got another call. It said, we found a dog. It's white. It has one ear up and one ear down. So we made the call. Well, it became so common that when someone called up, we said, take the dog to this address, take it into the gate, lock the gate. The dog knows how to open the gate, pound on the door. The owner is nearly deaf, and the dog is nearly blind. We knew all about the dog, and there was no chip. Now, that's the ultimate of agnostic help. PetTrak is there to affect recoveries and reunification. That's the goal that we have. And the chips and such are enabling technology.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. Thank you for what you are doing for our community and for our furry friends.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.